The following program contains violence, disturbing imagery, nudity, and, oh my God, just run away.
There's a mint condition Topps Walter Payton rookie trading card selling on eBay for $59,500. A 1984-85 Michael Jordan rookie Fleer trading card sold in 2016 for $40,000. Today, it's said to be twice that amount. A little out of your league? How about a signed Ron Santo baseball? It only cost you a little over $1,100. It's just stuff. I mean, stuff valued at more than you could have ever imagined you would own as a kid. For many of you, it's stuff your mom threw out.
And welcome in to another chapter of Stuff Your Mom Threw Out. It's the podcast. It's brought to you by AU Sports, located at 6006 Dempster in Morton Grove. I'm David Schuster. He's Mr. Scott Beatty. And Scott, just to start off, both good and bad news. The network has renewed our little podcast, so like it or not, we're stuck with each other.
That is the epitome of bad news. I got to sit next to you and listen to your bullshit for another 6 weeks.
Like it or not, we're partners.
How come I never get to do the show open?
Fine.
You want me to do one?
Yeah, sure. What? Let's practice. Go ahead. Let's hear you do it.
Stuff your mom threw out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome out to another edition of Stuff Your Mom Threw Out with Mr. Podcast, Mr. Entertainment, the very handsome and charming Scott Beatty, and then there's this guy, Dave.
I actually like it. That you got that pretty good FM voice going for you.
Yeah, I went to college for that, man.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I went to Columbia College in Chicago.
Where did you get that BS degree? And I do mean BS. Yeah,
Columbia College in Chicago.
That explains everything.
Like you know, I enjoyed that, though. That's right. From when I was a kid, you know, I always looked
up
to
the... How were the drugs at Columbia College? Help me out.
They were fine.
Oh, thumbs up. Thumbs up.
They were findable.
Findable.
I can tell you this one. When I took radio broadcasting as one of my classes, that's what I went for. I went for broadcasting. And my second year, we had a final day, and everybody had to come out, and we were all going to get our evaluations. There wasn't really a grade so much as an evaluation. But the teacher would pull everybody into his office one at a time and talk to them for 10 minutes. And our class was like 4 hours long, something like that. So we were all just hanging around. So we decided to go in the bathroom and get high during the evaluations. I think I was the last one called, so I was quite stoned when I got my class evaluation. Good thing I got an A.
Well, I was high coming to school, to be honest with you, but we won up to you. We got high in class as is. We just lit it up.
Yeah, generally not in class. I would wait till after. I was a good kid.
Well, the teacher sometimes at SIU.
You know what, though? I always looked up to the broadcasters. That's what I wanted to be. I actually, you know, as a kid, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, you want to be a policeman, I want to be an astronaut, whatever. I wanted to be a baseball broadcaster. Wow. I wanted to call games.
Okay, man. I wanted to play baseball. You could have been broadcasting my games.
All those 0-for-5s? And here's the pitch to Schuster, and that's strike three. That is the third time he has struck out today. You like that?
Well, as long as I get paid. Yeah,
I can't believe they've put up with him for that long on this team.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
All right, so listen, at class when Southern Illinois, you know, you're opening up an area here, class at Southern Illinois for journalism, we, you know, have introduction to
what
whatever.
Happened?
What happened?
Oh, you started out as a journalist. What's going on now?
I went downhill. enemy of the people, by the way. No, we learned, one of the things I learned, Ben Franklin was one of the original people who published like magazines and journalistic whatever.
Whatever.
But he also, one of the things that he also published at a very young age, I guess, was your pornographic
stuff. My God.
Whatever.
David Schuster did.
David Schuster wants to talk about Revolutionary War pornography.
For 1,000.
He's reading these fan fiction stories of Paul Revere and Betsy Ross, man.
I heard she was hot.
Yeah.
Boy, did she know how to use that needle.
She draped herself in that flag. All right.
All right, anyway, we're going to talk sports memorabilia here in just a second. By the way, we're going to be joined by a good friend of ours, David Kaplan, who, of course, you can hear on ESPN Radio and NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter, at TheCapMan.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He's omnipresent, I think is the right word. He'll be joining us in just a little bit. But before that, and we'll get into some sports memorabilia. You know, it's almost an afterthought on these things. We'll get to it eventually. But Halloween's coming up. And it looks like you're already dressed up for Halloween. Why don't you tell everybody your getup today?
Well, nobody's going to get it because it's obviously a visual
that's,
thing.
Well, that's why you're going to describe it.
I'm wearing my Oakland A's cap, and I haven't had a haircut in since January, I think. And I haven't shaved for about 2 months. So
Ben Franklin.
I've been going as older, fatter Jason Giambi for Halloween.
Emphasis on the older and the fatter.
Not too much fatter, I wouldn't think, but, okay. You know.
Aldo's taking a picture of this for the website. He's going to scare the shit out of everybody. Hey, ladies, this is his dating picture.
Yeah, can we put the... they won't even want to swipe left. They'll want to swipe off.
Okay, all right, let's start off with some sports memorabilia here. Where should we start here? The Lakers just won the recent title, okay? Looks like the city of Los Angeles is going to have two titles in a very short period of
time.
Don't
say that. Go Tampa.
Well, yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen, but whatever. How has that improved everything sports memorabilia for LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers in general? What's that done for it lately?
Probably done more for Anthony Davis than LeBron because LeBron's market's always been that good. It may, you know, increase in championship-type stuff, but, you know, LeBron in the last 2 years has really taken a step up. I mean, there's that whole section of basketball fans who want to debate whether he's better than Jordan or not. You know, so he's on that level as far as collectibles go. It's usually with a younger audience. Then, you know, Jordan skews older, LeBron skews younger. But Anthony Davis is the guy who snuck up behind it. His rookie cards have taken a precipitous jump.
Really?
Up, yeah. So that's going to help.
Precipitous. Can you spell that?
You know, I probably could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I'm pretty sure you can't.
P-R, yeah, I'm done. Yeah,
okay. All right, well, listen, I did, as always, I do my research, and actually LeBron has gone up. I don't know if it's gone up.
Well, it has gone up, but I'm saying it's not. Anthony Davis made the more, I don't want to say surprising jump, but I think he's made more of a jump because LeBron's always been good.
Okay, well, he's always been good, and he's getting better. Here, I mean, we'll talk with LeBron because I don't have any.
We'll talk with LeBron. Did you get LeBron on the show?
Yes, we're going to get him on right after Cap.
All right.
So I guess LeBron is affiliated with Upper Deck. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. So in 2012, I think that was when he won his first championship, a LeBron signed basketball from Upper Deck was $1,050. Okay. Now he just won the title, of course, with the Lakers. How much is that same signed ball?
$8,000.
Not far off. Yeah. $6,500.
Yeah.
So it has
some
gone
up. Some
sucker
will pay $8,000.
Okay. His jersey signed after he won the first championship in 2012 with Miami, by the way. His jersey then signed $1,650. How much is it now?
That's got to be five figures now.
Correct.
Yeah. This is, wait, a game-used jersey or just a jersey?
It says just the jersey. How do they know if it's game-used or not?
Because they'll...
What, from the sweat? No, you got to do a DNA sample?
Well, it's got certain markings on it.
Sure, sweat marks.
No, actually, they have tags on the inside. You can tell it's got different numbering on it. Sometimes it's got a patch on the side. And generally today, if you're buying game-used merchandise from today's game, usually you're getting it from a team charity auction. They actually verify these, the team will, and give them out to charities and such or sell them for whatever it happens to be. So it's pretty easy to identify them. Now, older stuff, it really is the markings, like game-used bats. You usually have the tape on it, you've got some tar marks on it, you know, and also then the players' numbers were all written in very heavy marker on the tip of the bat.
Right.
So when the guy would go to the bat rack, he'd see, oh, I'm number 20, that's
okay.
My bat. So there are ways to see what you've got, if it's real or not. And also there's, I'll even throw a little free plug out there, a place called Gray Flannel. You can look them up on Google. They do a lot of game use stuff, so you can check them out too. But let's see. You said it's just a regular jersey.
Regular jersey signed after he just won the recent title.
I would say just maybe like, I wouldn't say much over 11.
Almost. Yeah. $12,000.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, you're getting better here as we go on.
I've always been this good, David.
All right, let's see. Well, before we get into some really fun stuff, let's stay with the sports memorabilia
stuff. Yeah, this is no fun whatsoever.
How about, you know, talking about Jordan before? Michael Jordan, the stuff when he played baseball, okay? Baseball cards, baseball, yeah, whatever, memorabilia, sports memorabilia. Surprisingly, not worth that much.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, you know, like a Michael Jordan rookie basketball card can go...
Well, that's basketball.
For I know, but I'm just kind of comparing. It can go for, you know, raw grade, ungraded, $900 and up, and you know, it can go up into $10,000. You know, the baseball card, though... $30-$35.
There is
a huge difference between the two. You are correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still surprised by that, to be honest with you. I saw it ranging from $1 to $80 was the top number that I saw.
I'll buy that.
You will? For $80?
No, I'll buy it for $1 and sell it for $80. You want to get in on this?
No. All right. We talked about Halloween. We'll jump off on this one. Halloween, and looks like you've been eating a lot of candy in advance.
I'm actually
like boxes full of it.
No, see, I'm actually a savory guy.
I don't think you save anything.
Oh,
you're not like a squirrel. You don't save shit.
Wow.
All right, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Well, back when I was, I don't eat candy today. I really don't.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's not on my bag. I like cookies, though.
Cookies?
The cookies are the jam, man. I'll talk about it. You want to talk about cookies?
All right,
tell us
about cookies. What's your favorite cookie?
My favorite, you know, honest guys, my favorite cookie is probably a really, like the soft.
Cookie Rojas?
Oatmeal raisin. Oh, no, I know what I love. When they're done right. They're called butterscotch oatmeal. What do they call them?
I don't know. You're pulling a Grabstein when you don't know the answer to something.
No, no, no. Oatmeal scotchies.
Oatmeal scotchies?
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, Aldo's going to be looking up that one.
Oh, they're delicious.
Okay.
You know who makes them? My business partner at AU Sports, Frank.
Frank! You just got to mention.
Frank.
No royalties.
Zero. He actually makes cookies.
He makes cookies.
He does. He's a cookie man.
You know what?
Remember that commercial?
Is he the elf? Keebler elf?
Aldo's going to have to look this up on at the end of the show. What was that? What was the commercial for the cookie? You know, hello, cookie man.
I don't know.
Do you remember it?
Vaguely.
Like the cookies were so good that this group of housewives would follow this cookie baker around. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll get to that.
Okay. Did you ever make any baker in your own cookies?
No, I'm lazy.
Okay.
My grandmother, on my dad's mom, she was a old-fashioned German kitchen cook, baker, you know, the whole thing. So she would always make cakes and cookies and everything else. So I never had to learn how to do it.
Did you ever make hash brownies?
No.
I did. We were so high, we forgot to take the stalks out. The brownies come out of the oven, the stalks are sticking out of them like antennas.
You made popsicles out of them.
What's in this shit, man?
Mostly Maui Wowie, man.
Yeah?
But it's got some Labrador in it.
What's Labrador?
It's dog shit.
What?
Yeah, my dog ate my stash, man.
It worked, let me tell you.
All right, go ahead.
Halloween candy, though?
Okay, but when I was a kid.
Yeah, when you're a kid.
The only candy I'll really eat occasionally today is I like the Milky Way Midnight. That's a nice bar.
Milky Way Midnight?
Yeah.
What was that, like dark chocolate or
something? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I'll eat that once every 6 months.
Okay, I do like Milky Ways, but I like Three Musketeers better than Milky Way.
As a kid, Smarties?
Smarties? What are those?
You don't know what Smarties are?
I vaguely remember they were in plastic package.
Yep, and it looked like a little discs, like little half-inch discs, and they were kind of sour.
Yeah, I do remember those.
Yeah.
I don't like sour.
Oh, that Smarties were a big jam. And, of course, you know, when you go out trick-or-treating, you know, I had a big...
I like candy like I like my women. Sweet.
I had...
Whatever.
I had a pumpkin, you know. I had a pumpkin that you walk around with, and they fill the candy up. So, you know, of course, as a kid, you love the little candy bars. But Smarties were a jam, and what else would be good? You know, the suckers. You know, like not Blow Pops. What was the other popular brand? Tootsie Roll Pops.
Tootsie Roll Pops.
You know, they did a study. You can look this up. Some college, just for a goof, some class, actually saw how long it took to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. And I think it was like 365 licks, something like that. Like,
I don't know.
I'll bet you Joey Chestnut could do it quicker than that.
He just swallow it whole. I'll tell you what flavor it
we
was
should
going
get
down.
Him on, we should get him on this thing.
The number one ranked eater in the world. 74 hot dogs and buns. The Nathan's Famous hot dog eating champion of the world. Joey Chestnut!
Seriously. We should get Joey Chestnut on this thing. I bet he's got some memorabilia stuff.
Some game-used hot dogs?
Yes.
This one, I didn't. This was the last hot dog I didn't eat back in New Jersey in 1988.
Okay, so listen. I was watching a movie yesterday. It was Castaway. It's a great movie, of course, with Tom Hanks. Okay, and I'm thinking, poor Wilson. He gets lost in the ocean, the volleyball.
You know, Wilson wasn't real, David.
No, God, you just ruined it for me. I don't know.
You're out there saying poor Wilson.
Poor Wilson.
Okay.
And I love how they have the doctor. He goes, the dentist actually, he was Spalding. They did that on purpose, of course.
Hurry for Captain Spalding?
Yes. Anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, sports memorabilia. If you could get
you were about to say sports paraphernalia.
I was going to say that, actually. I got drugs on my mind now. Uh-huh. The volleyball from Castaway, if that would go up for auction. I'm just thinking of different things that, you know.
You just put it at the end of your bed and have it staring at you all night with a light behind it.
That actually, it has different memes. Is that what you call these things?
Yes, they call them memes.
Memes, you know, and they have a different volleyball. You know, you're in bed with a woman. It's got a nice, you know, smiley face looking at you. The woman's not good looking. It's got an ugly face. I don't know. No, I was actually thinking because of that.
Do you want her to put a volleyball, on her head? Is that what you're going for?
You said it.
You'd want that regardless. You're weird.
I'm weird. All right. No, actually, I was thinking, you know, how much would that volleyball go for if you had the original volleyball? Don't you think that would fetch a lot of money?
I don't. What's a lot of money?
I don't know.
10 grand?
Yeah,
I could see 10 grand.
Okay. So then I was thinking, what kind of sports memorabilia that you don't see for auction would actually fetch money? And so a couple that I came up with.
Is this just you fantasizing?
Yeah, me fantasizing. I'm not, I could really fantasize, but we're not going that far. How about the gloves that John Carlos and Tommy Smith wore at the Olympics when they raised their hands at the 68 Olympics on the gold medal stand?
That'd be something that a museum would probably want.
Yeah, but what happens if they went up for auction?
I don't know. I think that could get up.
Six at least.
Yeah. I would think anywhere from 50,000 on up. Yeah. I would think so.
Okay. How about?
But do you think explain to the people who don't know who they are. Okay. This is 52 years ago, right?
Yeah, very good. You were very good in math.
Oh, yeah.
1968, the Olympics in Mexico City. John Carlos and Tommy Smith. One won the gold medal. One won the bronze medal. Do you remember the guy from what country he was who won the silver?
Was he Australian?
I don't. Well, we'll look that one up. Of course, I think he was from Italy. I think. Anyway,
he was the white guy.
He was the white guy, correct.
Right, okay. When you see the famous picture, he's the white guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of strife, obviously, in 1968.
Civil rights movement
Yes. So John Carlos and Tommy Smith. I don't remember one the right hand and one the left hand. That part I don't remember, but it was a black salute.
The black power salute.
Yes, and they both had black gloves on, and they raised their hands during, and they were criticized.
Yeah, because
sect of the country.
Let's just say that, you know, and I'm doing this very sarcastically, you know, you weren't supposed to politicize sports. No, bullshit. If you've got that platform,
100%.
Do it.
I had no problem, even as a kid, you know, watching those guys do it. First of all, they were great running the damn race, and then they can do whatever they want,
What they were doing was, you know, they're representing their country, but they didn't feel like their country was representing them. So 100%. Fair game.
Yep, 100%. Anyway, I just wonder what those. First of all, I wonder where those gloves are.
You see, that's what I was going to ask. Is do you think they had the foresight to hang on to them? Yeah, or just at one point,
know.
Like, hey, Tommy,
throw it away.
Tommy, are you going to use this glove anymore? No, I'm done. And just, you know, toss it out back. It's possible.
Well, it was only one half of a set anyway.
Right. What am I going to do with one glove? Throw it away.
Hey, Michael Jackson.
True.
Michael Jackson.
You know, that reminds me of a bad dad joke. You know, they've come to call.
Is this going to bring the audience down here on this podcast? Otherwise, I don't want to hear it.
I hope so.
I hope so.
No, it's like, you know what they call dad jokes now are just bad puns and stuff.
Yes.
But it came from years ago. And this is back. Do you remember when the Orioles started the season? They lost like 20 games
yes.
in a row.
Were
yes. they going 20 or 0-18 or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
All right. So the joke was, hey, what do Michael Jackson and the Baltimore Orioles have in common? Of course, is they both wear one glove on their hand for no particular reason.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
It was funny back then. It's not funny at
all
now.
No, it's not funny at all now.
All right. So another thing I was thinking of, how about Kirk Gibson's bat? The 88 World Series.
That's got to be a six-figure piece.
Okay.
Got to be.
And that's of course, the famous home run that won a World Series game.
Well, you never know what these guys walk away with from the park. Now, Gibson may have said, I want that bat, and it's on a wall in his basement or something.
Could be.
You know? Or you never know, a bat boy scoops it up and puts it on the side. But you would see something like that in a major auction. I'm going to guess that either the Dodgers have it or Gibson has it. But, yeah, if it was out there, that'd be monstrous. That's one of the 2 to 4 most memorable home runs of all time since the age of television.
Yes.
You know, you got Fisk in 75.
The
World
anniversary
Series.
Of that, ironically,
recently,
was
right?
yesterday, I
was
think.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Carlton Fisk's home run in the 1975 World Series. Bill Mazeroski's home run in 1960.
Homer in the Gloaming.
And, the Homer in the Gloaming is Gabby Hartnett
right.
in 1935.
You're right.
You know, I know you were at the game, but it doesn't matter. Now, and so, all right, so if I got those two, if you got Gibson and you got Mazeroski and you got Carlton Fisk, those would be the top three, don't you think?
TV games.
And then Joe Carter.
Joe Carter's home run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And winning
and ironically,
the 1993 World Series.
That also, the anniversary was just the other day.
Well, I mean, we're right in the middle of the fake World Series right
yes,
now.
Yes, right. Exactly right.
The fake season with this fake awards and it's a fake World Series winner.
Absolutely right. Hey, listen, a lot more to talk about, and we will, but let's take a break right now. When we come back, we'll hear from David Kaplan, and I'm sure he's got some good stories as well. We'll be back right after this.
On the most recent Mike North Advantage. Interesting fact, Aaron Donald has played against Nick Foles 3 times and has never sacked him.
Well, you know what? And that means if he does it again, he probably won't shake hands with him. Just like I like Tom Brady, but, you know, not to shake hands with Nick Foles after a game because he has the better of you.
Right.
And then you shake hands with Drew Brees and you shake hands with Aaron Rodgers after you beat him. If I'm Nick Foles, I'm loving that.
There you go.
You got dissed by Tom Brady because you're in his head. Period. End of story. Because if you put 2 and 2 together, he couldn't wait to shake hands with Aaron Rodgers. Couldn't wait to shake hands with Drew Brees in winning type of situations, right?
Right.
But when it came to losing a football game, I thought he was classless. I really did.
Well, I'm frankly not surprised. Mr. Brady, I think, has been fooling a lot of people with that million-dollar smile and those good looks. And
sort of like I got. Same with me, right?
That's right.
Yes. Let me put my teeth in. Let me get that million. Because when I say million-dollar smile, that's what they cost, okay? Yeah, you know, let me just say this. You could have all the money in the world. You could have the greatest car. You could have your health. You could have it all. But if you don't have dental insurance, you might starve to death.
Oh, you're killing me, man. The Mike North Advantage, only on the Barroom Network.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm David Schuster. He, of course, is Scott Beatty. And right now, Scott, we're joined by David Kaplan. And David Kaplan, I think the word to use for Cap is omnipresent, because he's all over the place in a good way. You, of course, can hear him on ESPN Radio, NBC Sports Chicago on TV. You can follow him on Twitter, as I do, at the Capman. How you doing, buddy?
Everything is good. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on with you guys.
A pleasure and an honor. Look at that, David. That's a first.
How about that?
He's lying.
We got two thumbs up.
Hey, Cap, we've had a bunch of people on talking about their sports memorabilia collection. We had Ryan Dempster on. We had Mark Giangreco on. And they love talking about that stuff. And I imagine it's probably near and dear to your heart, too. I'm sure you have a pretty decent collection yourself.
Yeah, I actually do. I mean, I got to host, and Scott was on the show. I got to host a show called A Piece of the Game. And you know, saw some incredible memorabilia, like Jesse Owens' gold medal. Oh, my God. Wow. I had that literally in my hand. It was almost eerie. I got the chills from that. But in my own collection, so they did 100 lithographs of my favorite athlete of all time, Secretariat. And that's true. That's my favorite athlete. Yes, horses are athletes. And so when I got engaged to my wife, Mindy, she bought me one of the 100 that is the cover of Time magazine from 1973 when this horse just was the people's horse, they called it. And Secretariat's the greatest racehorse of all time. She knows I love Secretariat. And it's signed by the late owner and the jockey, Ron Turcotte. And it is amazing. And even though I think we have a really nice house and we don't have sports memorabilia on the first floor, that one piece is displayed. When you walk in our house, first thing you see is Secretariat.
That's dedication.
That's my animal, no, baby. No, I love that horse.
No, like you're talking about, you know, the Jesse Owens gold medal. Now, you and I worked on a piece of the game, which was a kind of a antiques roadshow for sports memorabilia, is the best way to describe it. David, of course, hosted, and myself, along with Rob Steinmetz, was the other main appraiser guy, and we got to see a lot of incredible stuff. Did you ever feel like that was a piece you wanted to take home, besides the gold medal? Was there ever something that walked in? And because what we got to do is we got to walk in the morning at taping, and we would just see all this amazing stuff, and we got to go along kind of like a concession line and look at everything, and it was just unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, there was Babe Ruth's bat that this woman had died at like 90 years old, and when her family was cleaning out the house, she wasn't even a sports fan. They found this dusty baseball bat underneath her bed. We're like, what in the H is this? And they take it out of, like, it was wrapped in like a sheet, and they took it out, and they're like, this says Babe Ruth on it.
Wow.
And they got it appraised, and it was actually a game-used Babe Ruth bat. Incredible to see it, to hold it, and go, oh my God, Babe Ruth helped us.
Yeah, like, I got a picture with that bat. Absolutely. She kept it under the bed. I missed that part of the story. She kept it under bed, so she was beating off intruders with a Babe Ruth bat. That's great.
Exactly right. So, yeah, that was really cool. The story of the guy who went into like a Goodwill or Salvation Army retail shop, and he would always just kind of rummage through. And so he and his wife are in there, and he finds this old sweater, and he's like, how much is that? And they said, we just do it by the pound. They drop it in at 40 cents. He buys this old, like, torn sweater because he thought it was cool for 40 cents. And his wife, that night, they're watching TV. He said, I'm doing something. And my wife yells, I think this looks like the sweater you just bought today. And he looks on TV. It is identical to the sweater that he had bought for 40 cents. He goes and checks the tag. It's the sweater that they're showing on TV. Well, it was Vince Lombardi's letter sweater from West Point. And it ended up being worth a fortune.
Wow.
So, yeah, you never know what freaky thing you're going to find.
Hey, Cap, you know, you mentioned Babe Ruth. You know, Michael Jordan is known in a lot of circles as the Babe Ruth of basketball. And, you know, obviously a lot of his memorabilia is worth, you know, countless dollars. We're not supposed to, in our field, get autographs. It's not, you know, it's actually taboo to do it. But listen, it happens periodically. Actually, I got a couple of Jordan autographs. Somebody else did it for me for a basketball for my son and a picture for my daughter. You know, did you ever get anything, even through a third party, from Michael for maybe your son or somebody else?
So I had a poster of Michael Jordan in a white Jumpman jumpsuit. It's the various pictures of him taking off at the free throw line and then, like, frame by frame of him going into dunk in an empty gym. And I had that. And when my son was born, I brought that picture. I had gotten to know Michael a little bit, and I brought that picture to him. And he said, absolutely, because he was a member of the same golf club back in the day that I was. And he signed that picture for me. It says to Cap, because I'm not going to sell it, and one of my kids has it up now at his place. And so it's something that was very, very cool. I do a lot of charity golf outings where I'll be the MC. Well, 99.9% of them, pre-COVID, are having silent auctions. And a lot of times people just don't go and bid on stuff like they should. I got a signed Jonathan Toews All-Star jersey that way. I got a Magic Johnson signed uniform jersey that way, all framed. And then I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in my studio at TV. I get a call. Would you have Kareem on to talk about a documentary he's doing? And I had heard he wasn't a great interview. I'm like, yeah, he's Kareem. I'll put him on. They're like, yeah, he's not a great interview. Well, he was amazing. He was literally amazing. I couldn't believe how good an interview he was. I'm like, I don't know why this guy has a reputation of being a bad interview. He was amazing. We get done. He shakes my hand. He said, hey, if I can ever return the favor, I really appreciate you having me on. I don't say a word to him. I say to his PR person, if I go order a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jersey online and ship it to you, could you at some point get him to sign it? She's like, what's your address? I give her my address. I said, I'll send you the jersey. And that's where we leave it. 2 days later, FedEx shows up at my house, a Lakers jersey, Jabbar, signed, David, loves being on your show, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah, couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I've got a few cool pieces.
Wait, so that's not on the first floor? You got Secretariat on the first floor, but you don't have Kareem?
Kareem and Magic are downstairs with Bobby Hull, Dennis Savard, Stan Mikita,
wow.
Tony Esposito, Ozzie Guillen, Frank Thomas, Ernie Banks, and then probably my most prized possession other than Secretariat. So there's a guy from Dixon, Illinois, which is my wife's hometown. He knew my wife when they were little kids. He is in the National Guard. He goes to Iraq during the Gulf War. I'm on the air at WGN Radio. My producer, Mike Farron, who's now the voice of the Diamondbacks, says to me, hey, man, go to line two. We got a caller from Baghdad, Iraq. I'm like, what? He said, yeah. I go get this guy on the air, and he's like, this is Sergeant Mark Stock of the National Guard, and we're here on patrol. Huge Cubs fan. I know your wife. And the only way we're getting through these tough days, we put a standings board up outside the platoon because you got guys in the military from all over the United States. And so here's the standings in the AL West and the NL West and blah, blah, blah. And he said, and we listen to you on the air after the Cubs games on the internet. And so we have him on. And he starts calling the show all the time. And he would tell us, hey, man, we had somebody get killed and it's been a rough day. And this is, you know, the one way that we kind of blow off some steam. We're all baseball fans. Well, he gets sent home finally. He's done. He comes back. I get him set up to present the colors at opening day for the Cubs. And he's a huge Cubs fan. And then he says, hey, can I come down? I've got something for you I want you to have. He brings the flag that flew over his barracks. And he brings a picture of him and his fellow officers holding that flag in the Iraqi countryside. And then a picture where it flew over the barracks. And he said, I want you to have this flag because you got me through some really tough times. And I got it framed. He sent me a letter that I have with the flag. And it says, David, thank you for getting me through some really tough times. Go Cubs. Staff Sergeant Mark Stock, United States National Guard. And that is like the number one thing, other than Secretariat, that's the number one thing I have.
I can absolutely see that. It's fantastic that you realize how much you meant to somebody else, you know, thousands of miles away. You know, you've kept them in touch with being at home, and I think that's fantastic. That's a great piece.
It's unbelievable.
That's one of those things you can't even put a price on.
No, I would never. There's nothing I have that I would sell. David knows that when you're working the locker room, we don't ask for autographs. 1998, Schuster's in there, I'm in there, the Cubs come out of nowhere, Sammy hit 66 home runs. Well, there was also a deadly hurricane that hit the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Sammy sees me in the locker room every day, and I, because I was on the flagship station, I was doing some of my interviews. We had a setup in the clubhouse. So they'd kick all the rest of the media out, and I'd still be in there. And Sammy walked up to me and said, could you interview me right now? I said, yeah, 100%. He said, but I want to talk about helping my country because so many people were killed, so much devastation. So I have him on, and then he asked me to get somebody else on from the Dominican government. I put them on. It was a big fundraiser, and he walks up to me. This is like the last day of the regular season, and he said, hey, brother, I just wanted to thank you for having me on. here's a game-used bat from this year, and he signs it, and I have it, and it's cracked, and it's still up in my house. And at one point, before, you know, his career went sideways with the Cubs, I was offered significant money for him. Like, I'm not selling that. He gave that to me. And now it's not worth anywhere near what that guy had offered me, because Sammy's reputation's a little different. He and I still are friends. We communicate, we text, we have a good relationship, but that's still a really cool piece that I have, to know he hit 66 bombs and one of them was with that bat.
Hey, Cap, you know what would really be worth a lot of money, and talking about it also being cracked, would be that boombox that he had in that clubhouse that unfortunately one of his teammates...
If you had the pieces of the boombox, that would be amazing.
Who was it that wrecked it?
I truly believe, and he laughs every time I say it, Kerry Wood started it.
Yeah.
Bunch of guys joined in, and then the amazing part of it is Sammy's clothes are hanging in the locker because he left. They literally urinated on his clothes.
Hey, Cap, one last thing before we let you go. Both Giangreco and Dempster, when we had them on, you know, they also have their own collections, but they also said the most prized part of their collections are stuff that's signed by people outside the sports industry, and they both made mention of musicians. Like Eric Clapton signed Giangreco's guitar, and Dempster's got a lot of stuff. I'm just curious, because you've come across everybody, whether it's people from Pearl Jam or anybody else. Is there anything else in your collection from guys outside the sports industry?
It's funny you mentioned Pearl Jam. I have Eddie Vedder's cell phone number.
We'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give it out.
Yeah, we'll just mark that down.
Standing on the field, this is during the NLCS 2016. I'm standing on the field. Now, anyone who knows me knows I like music, but I'm about as dumb as it comes when, you know, hearing a song and telling you who that is, unless it's Bruce Springsteen. And so this guy walks up to me. I don't know who the guy is. And he says, "Hey, man, just letting you know, I really enjoy you on the post-game show with Todd Hollinsworth. I watch every pre-post." I'm like, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you." And I walk away. And that's it. And he's looking at me like, this idiot doesn't know who I am. And somebody walked up and said, "You know who you were just talking to that was saying all those nice things to you, right?" I said, "No clue." He said, "Dude, that's Eddie Vedder." And so I walk back up to him. I'm like, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was you." He's like, "No." He goes, that's cool. Most people just come running up because I am me. He goes, "I actually enjoyed that interaction." So I said, "Would you come on the radio with me tomorrow?" He said, "Yeah." I go, "What number do I call you at?" He's looking at his cell phone. He's like, "I just got this cell phone yesterday. I don't know the number. My manager handed me the phone, so there's your new phone." I said, "Hold on a second. Give me your phone." He hands me the phone. I call my phone from his. And I said, "Well, now I've got your number." He's like, "Good for you. You got it." And he came on. He was awesome.
Oh, Pearl Jam is one of my favorite bands. And when I found out Eddie was a Cub fan, that was even a bigger deal. And I know, actually, signed baseballs by him. We checked him up. They've been going for like $300, $400. So I'm surprised more people haven't hit him up at Wrigley.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man. I mean, really, really good person. So, and originally a Chicago guy.
If you could just text that number to Schuster, we promise we won't abuse it.
I'll send that right over, Dave.
Sure.
Hey, Cap, we appreciate you sending the number over, but more than that, we appreciate you joining us. It's great stories, and we appreciate it, and you're a good dude, and we'll talk to you shortly down the road.
You bet. Have me anytime. I love coming out with you guys. It's an honor.
Okay, thanks, Cap, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Cap. Thanks.
On a recent Sportscaster and Her Son podcast, Peggy Kaczynski spoke with Jeannie Morris about Gale Sayers.
Ed McCaskey, who was a wonderful guy, the current president of the Bears' father, helped Gale write that speech. Ed was very, very supportive of the Piccolo family all through that ordeal.
So Ed McCaskey, the husband of Virginia McCaskey,
correct,
helped correct. Him write the speech, which is the one that everyone remembers Billy Dee Williams doing in the movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love Brian Piccolo. And I'd like all of you to love him too. And tonight, hit your knees. please ask God to love him.
Wow. Well, and Ed McCaskey was always had such a great way with words. He was he loved to sing and he loved to, he just had such a special way with words. That's the first time I heard that.
The Sportscaster and Her Son, now on the Barroom Network.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm David Schuster. He's Scott Beatty. Kaplan is never short for having stories, is he?
No. Listen, I worked with Dave for, 5 years on the show A Piece of the Game, which I explained before what it was. And, you know, this guy was always busy.
He still is.
I think he gets up at 4:30 to golf, then goes in and does a pregame, a postgame, a pregame, a during game, an after game, and then he goes home and golfs.
Gets in his workout always in the morning too.
Yeah, no, but the thing about it is, he is a great guy to talk to. He's got a million stories because he's worked in so many different areas of the broadcasting here, especially here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, he's met so many people. He's got so many great stories, and we appreciate having him on. And I think we'll probably have him back.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll love coming back on again. And there's so many stories, and you know, Cap really knows his hoops too. Obviously, Cap actually started as a scout in basketball, and wrote his own basketball like digest,
you know,
or something like that.
I am ashamed that I did not bring that up. He is on a basketball card. There was a set that came out.
A basketball card.
He wrote a lot of the stuff on the back of the cards, the little descriptions, and so he got a card.
Oh,
he actually exists on a basketball card.
I did not know that.
And I had at my shop years ago when him and I first started working together, he mentioned it, and I said, you know what? I believe I have that card. And I did, and I sent it to him.
Well, he does have proudly displayed in, I don't know, maybe his foyer as you walk into the house, secretariat.
His foyer?
His foyer. It's, I know that's something that you don't have in
foyer.
Foyer. We're not doing French-Canadian hockey
here. Wipe your feet and don't go in the foyer.
Anyway, I know the picture of the horse that you have in your house. It's the one from The Godfather, the one that's in the bed, just the head, right?
Yeah, this was, but the horse was alive when I took the picture of him. I'm not sure what happened afterwards. Well,
you know what you have in common with this horse? You're both geldings.
I'd have got nothing for that.
Of course you got nothing. Look it up.
Oh, I know what it means.
If a guy has a twig and berries, you cut the berries off, he's a gelding.
I finally shut him up, Aldo.
Do it again.
Speaking of movies,
and let me preface this. People who don't know, who aren't familiar with you personally, you are a huge movie buff.
I am with
music. Yes. You are with movies.
I am. Truly, I am. And I'm sort of going through withdrawals now because no movies are coming out. I don't know what they're showing in the movie theaters right now. And listen, right now, they've scared the crap out of me not to even go into a movie theater. So, yeah, it's withdrawals for me.
Listen, I look on all the major pictures have been pushed back.
That's right.
There's still
a lot of them a year
plus. There's still probably 8 or 10 movies being released a week, but they're really being released directly for download or buy online or streaming or whatever it happens to be. But none of... I mean, Tenet was the one that they threw that in the theaters.
But it's going to lose a lot of money because it would have made so much more money
That's why Disney is sitting back. And first of all, I mean, they were smart. What did they do? A digital download with the last one, the live-action Mulan, I believe. And they did well. But these Marvel pictures they've got kind of in the can. You know, Black Widow is going to be a huge hit. Scarlett Johansson, you know, and it's Marvel. That one has been pushed back. I think it's even into spring now.
Well, James Bond has been moved back an entire year. It was supposed to be out in November, like right now, upcoming.
Who's his last one. Who, Daniel Craig?
Yeah, his last one.
Oh, he's still James. Who's going to be the new James Bond? Who do you like?
I think you.
Yeah.
You know, they were looking for a fat Jason Giambi, like, and that's you. I even made you laugh on that one.
Fighting the evil commissioner of baseball.
Listen, some of the people that come into your store, those are the people you should be fighting.
Fighting their body odor, yeah.
All right, so speaking of... Oh, by the way, there is a movie that's coming out on Prime Amazon or something on Friday. We're recording this on Wednesday.
I'm very much looking forward to this.
I should have a watch party for Borat.
Borat.
The Return of Borat.
Did you see that? Oh my God! You got to go look at the trailer. There's this.
One, I have.
There's this. Oh, the one part where he's being taught golf, and the guy says, "Don't let go of the club." And of course, what does he do? He flings the club across the room, and then the guy, real disgustedly, says, "What's the first thing I said to you? Nice to meet you."
Yes. Can you do Borat doing Yoda?
Oh wow! I could
pull this one off. This will go platinum if you can do this.
But do you do the Borat voice or the Yoda voice? I think you do Borat speaking like Yoda,
right.
Don't you?
Yeah.
You know? Wait. Number three prostitute in all of country, my sister is? I don't know. Is that? I can do better. I can do better.
Work on it.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of movies, and we'll get to sports memorabilia again in a second, but here's some movie memorabilia. I guess annually, and I guess they're still going to have it out in Los Angeles, every December, early December, this year, December 1st and 2nd, it's the Hollywood Movie Auction, where they have certain things out of movies that are up for auction. So here's a few of them. Here's the Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber.
Ooh, cool.
From the movie Revenge of the Sith.
That
was a bad movie,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, so it...
But still, it's up for auction, the Obi-Wan. And by the way...
It's Ewan McGregor? Ewan, how do you say his name?
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ewan McGregor, right?
Ewan McGregor. That's the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan, not Alec Guinness.
You seem a little on edge.
So, yes. Who cares?
Relax.
That's my answer. Who cares?
Okay.
Take a deep breath.
I'm going to tell you the prices that they think they're going to get for it.
Oh, they will, but go ahead.
That's good news.
$155,000.
Wow. Okay, they might not.
Why would anybody pay even a dollar for something that's a stupid prop?
Don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
By the way, there is no lightsaber that comes out of this thing.
Oh, it doesn't even work.
Oh.
Not even a working lightsaber.
Just like the movie Flash Gordon.
Flash
Gordon. Remember Flash Gordon?
Well, which one? The 80s? Or are you talking about...
Well, but
about,
then they had the X-rated one.
Flash Gordon.
That's right.
That's a game I used to play with my friends. Just you'd come up with every major movie that would come out, you would try to make it into a porn...
Right.
Title and
9 to 5 became 8 to 4.
My crowning achievement was Jurassic Pork.
I like that one.
Wait a second though. So wait a minute. So this Ewan McGregor.
Don't try it.
Non-working lightsaber. So do you get to, if the auction was actually live, do you get to pick it up and go?
Come to your senses.
You know, right?
Oh my God! They're expecting to get this money. By the way,
yeah.
I mean, this is reputable.
Listen, if you can't cut your neighbor in half, what's your point?
Okay. All right. Jack Nicholson's purple fedora as the Joker.
Oh, that's cool.
In the Batman movie.
That's cool.
You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
They have a range on this one.
That was the only Batman movie. I mean, at the time when it came out, man,
that was
like,
the first one, wasn't it?
It was great, yeah. And then they progressively got worse until Christian Bale stepped in.
Right, that's correct. All right, so they have a range of this one. What, you want to take a stab at this?
$14,000. I don't know.
They have a range of between $26,000 and $38,000. For a stupid pink fedora.
Well, you know what, though?
Let me
go out on a limb here and say that some of the people who are going to be bidding on some of these items probably work in Hollywood. They've got money. They've got...
Oh, sure.
You know, if you're the... I don't want to say the head of a studio, but if you've got some bucks in your pocket and you're making some money, you know what? And that was your favorite movie coming up or something, you might want that in your trophy case.
To each their own.
And for $25,000 when you're pulling down $4 million a year.
Right. Okay. I sort of understand that. Yeah, the schlubs are not coming off the street to buy this shit.
Yeah, well, let's just pretend this, though. Let's pretend that, you know, a guy making billions of dollars, LeBron James, let's pretend he's a huge Batman fan. There you go.
Okay, well, to each their own, as I said. All right, the 1979 movie Alien, the Mechanical Alien.
Now, that's badass.
that's something that you would put at the end of your bed.
I was about to say.
With a woman there.
You know? Hey, honey, put the volleyball on and then look down there. That's got to be $100,000.
They have a range of between $52,000 and $78,000.
That's a neat item. I remember years ago, and I don't remember where it was, and this would take a lot of research. I was with my parents. I think I might have only been 8 or 9 years old. We were at a movie museum, somebody's house, basically. They charged a couple bucks to go in their basement, and they had all these original posters and lobby cards and this and that. And they had one of the original King Kongs.
One of the original King Kongs?
Yeah, because it was an animatronic figure.
Okay, so I mean, it was like about, a mini or
oh,
something?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was more than about 6 or 7 inches tall. So even at that age, I was like, damn. Now think about what that'd be worth.
I don't know.
At least 75 bucks.
At least 75 bucks.
I got about 75 on me, so let's go find it.
Okay. I got some minis coming up here in just a second. There's an easy one to jump on. Don't do it. All right, how about a couple of jackets from movies? Both the Tom Cruise jacket from Top Gun, the leather jacket that he wears on the motorcycle, and also Michael J. Fox's jacket that he wears in Back to the Future.
I bet the Michael J. Fox goes for more.
Actually, they have them both at the same range.
Which is 30 to 40?
Actually, $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't know. For some reason, I think Back to the Future is getting a little bit of a resurgence. I feel that in some of the things I've been
looking at. Because a lot of us would like to go Back to the Future.
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of interest there. I mean, Tom Cruise, Top Gun, I don't know. Aren't they remaking Top Gun or making a sequel to Top Gun?
They're making an updated Top Gun.
Yeah, that might help punch it up. They're not bringing that pan-faced Kelly McGillis back, are they?
No. No, she's been retired.
Yeah, she's like but she's like 80 anyway.
That's the second podcast that you've beaten up on her. Poor Kelly McGillis.
She looks like a blocked punt.
She looks like a blocked punt.
Not my cup of tea.
Okay. Speaking of minis, I guess recently they've had up for auction, you know, the Michael Jordan statues at the United Center, the one that he's...
They're selling the Michael Jordan? I don't think
no,
so.
Not that one. Well, that would fetch a
Well, can you imagine,
penny.
Like yeah, we're going to sell it, but you've got to get the pickup truck to get it out of here.
There's a bunch of miniature versions. It's 26-inch version of that... Yes, okay. You're measuring. What are you using to measure?
No, don't leave these people at home wondering. I'm raising my hand in the air trying to look at 26 inches.
Something's raised. 26 inches, or it's 2 feet, basically.
No, it's not. It's 2 feet, 2 inches.
Okay, very good. It's the second time he's bragged about knowing a little bit of math.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan statue, 26-inch mini version.
What do they make these for?
I don't know. I think they made like 100 of them, and they went up for auction.
All of them? All 100?
Well, this is one of... I think they made 100 originally.
All right, so there's at least one.
This is the one that recently...
And you're asking me, what do I think it's going to go for?
How much it did go for.
Oh, it did. Going to be five. I'm going to go... This is going to be my guess. I'm going to say $16,000.
$27,500.
Right. I could have done better, but I'll accept that.
This is like, let's make a deal, isn't it?
Except for I keep picking the door with the parrot behind it. Oh, you've won this brand new parrot. Like, wait a minute. There's a car and there's a van and that one. Oh, no, that's a box of macaroni and cheese and a parrot.
It's actually not the parrot. It's the parrot droppings.
Yeah. Hey, what was that guy's name? Monty Hall, right?
Monty Hall, yeah.
Now for the big deal of the night worth $8,992. Three doors. One, two, three. Where is that big deal?
Did they ever remake that show?
Yeah, it's
because, like, it really is. But yeah. Well, who's the host?
Yeah, who is the updated host?
Now here's TV's big dealer, Wayne Brady!
Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome to Let's Make a Deal.
Wayne Brady, yeah, he's been around for years.
I don't even know who that is.
He was on, he did a lot of appearances. I think he was on What's On My Line.
Yeah.
What's On My Line? That's not what it's called.
What's My Line?
No, it's not What's My Line. Who's On My... The one Drew Carey hosted.
Right.
I don't know the title. We'll get to that.
Wasn't the woman on Let's Make a Deal, Carol Merrill?
No, I think she was on The Price is Right, wasn't she?
Was she?
Carol Merrill.
Who was the one who stood in front of...
Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah, that was Carol Merrill.
Lovely Carol Merrill.
Yes.
That wasn't her real name.
She's going to be in the updated Top Gun
Let's
movie.
Have her on the show. All right, wait. So wait a minute, because aren't they remaking like every old game show now?
Yeah,
like all of them.
On prime time.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't have any content. You know, with COVID, they just got to go with what they got. What's the one? Didn't LeBron James produced one of the Wall. Is it called?
Well, LeBron,
I've never seen it.
LeBron James is updating the Michael Jordan movie. What was it? Space Jam.
Oh, people in some of the communities I communicate in for sports. Oh, there's some people having a fit over that. Like, how dare LeBron step into Michael's shoes?
Well, here's the argument of who's the greatest of all time.
Well, I mean, it's just I think it depends. I think that's generational. I think the thing is that Jordan did win six championships. He never went to a game seven. He never lost. And LeBron is what, 4-6?
4-6.
Yeah,
that's a 40% ratio. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You get it. Okay, David gets a gold star.
I'd rather have that Jesse Owens gold medal.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you and
how
me.
How much is that worth?
$1 billion.
It might be. By the way, who owned that? Whose was it?
I don't recall. It was like five years ago.
If I had that in my hand, quick, put it in my pocket, have another fake one come out.
Like, who took it? It definitely wasn't Schuster.
It wasn't me. I wouldn't be here, trust me.
You'd be the first one they suspected.
All right, you mentioned games. Video games, all right? There's an old Nintendo Jordan Bird video game going one-on-one, I guess. I didn't play this, so I'm not really sure. I guess it's back in vogue. How much?
Well, everything is, I mean, some of the stuff you can get graded now and put out of the market, it's like almost like anything. Now, video games, those old video games have taken a jump up. I think COVID has a lot to do with a lot of things getting
sure
a resurgence.
Does. Yeah.
Because people are looking on the internet and finding things and
getting locked in your house.
But also, Netflix just brought out a six-part documentary series called High Score, which was basically about the beginnings of video games from arcade to home, to improvement, you know, all the way up through, I think they left it off at somewhere in the Mortal Kombat area, so I'm sure they'll do some more, but I think it's got a lot to do with it. I wouldn't have the first guess what a video game would be.
$4,500.
You know, I was going to guess $4,000. But
sure you were after I said 4,500.
Well, you know,
sure you were.
It depends on what information you give me, see?
4,500, 4,000.
Yeah, you know. No, seriously, though.
Is that a word that we use in this podcast? What's serious?
Okay. Unseriously.
Thank you.
Is that a Nintendo game cartridge? Because the graphics had to be horrible for a basketball game.
Yes.
What did you didn't play video games.
I played no video games.
See, I grew up with, my favorites were Final Fantasy, which was kind of a medieval, I don't know, D&D type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think there's seven or eight of them. Mm-hmm. I played the original Zelda. I played Mario.
Zelda? Wasn't that the girl from Dobie Gillis? It was Zelda, wasn't
Why
it?
Why do you keep telling people you're 85 years old?
That's a good one. I love an old man joke. A married one.
Bob Denver was
Nobody
in that show.
Nobody listening to this show knows who Dobie Gillis is.
Well, then should go. Listen, it's during COVID. You should go back and watch it.
Yeah, let's coax the viewers that are the listeners that are about to die.
All right, let's go back to sports memorabilia. A guy I know, he passed away a couple years ago. He was a security guard at the United Center, John Capps. He was very famous.
Was he on that Last Dance documentary?
You know, I don't think Capps was on that last. I didn't see him. He might have been as people were strolling down the hallway. He was a security guard, and all the players knew him from all the years. Anyway, he passed away about a year and a half ago. He had all six title rings, and the family is putting them up for auction. And the auction, it starts at $5,000. Obviously, it's not going to end there.
Well, that's just to get interest.
Just to get the ball rolling.
I'll open.
For $5,000.
Yeah, absolutely,
okay.
I will.
Okay. How high is that going to go? It's currently, I believe, in the midst of the auction. I don't know where it stands right now.
That could get up to $500,000.
Very well could.
Yeah. I don't know if it will or not. I mean, you know, I'll give you an example. Sometimes it just depends on the amount of eyes that are on a piece at a different time at a different place, because you got to get lucky. I've had pieces that I've put up for auction that actually got no bids, you know, and then I waited a couple weeks and relaunched an auction and got X amount for it. So sometimes it just depends on who's looking at it. I had a Kobe Bryant card recently that the last copy of this card basically the exact same kind of thing went for like $600. Mine went for half that. Why?
Timing.
Just timing.
Timing is everything. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. All right, Babe Ruth. Let's go back to Babe Ruth.
He's dead, right?
Yes. I heard he's going out with Kelly McGillis. Now, this is interesting. I saw, you know, I do my research, as I said, and I went online.
You know, do you realize he always has to preface it?
Oh, well, but I do. How do you think I make this shit up?
I do my research.
Well, you don't. You've gone out of your way to say, I walk in here dry. I don't do any preparation. And you know what? If we both did that, then this thing would go down the shitter. So I do my prep.
It's already gone down the shitter. But go ahead, please.
You're right. All right, a regular Babe Ruth signed baseball, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How much?
Oh, it can range in price depending on condition. I mean, it can go for as cheap as $3,000. It can go for as much as $100,000.
Okay, I saw $10,000 for...
Yeah, $10,000 is probably a good base price.
Okay, but then I saw another one here. It's a game used Babe Ruth signed baseball, and it's something by... Tell me what this is. Herridge?
Will Herridge was the commissioner. A baseball, so it's a Herridge baseball.
Oh, that gives, that's what it is.
That gives you the time, like
what year?
Yeah, like for instance, if you get a baseball signed and it's got you know, like old National League balls would have Bill White's name on mm-hmm, them mm-hmm. or Bobby Brown, the
sure.
American League commissioner,
sure.
so you can tell when the balls were from.
Okay,
so that's a Will Herridge ball. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a signed game used ball. I don't know if he hit a home run or not with it. I'm not sure how much. And we already just said, you know, a regular ball, not game used, could go as much as $100,000. The one I saw online was $10,000. How much is this game used baseball signed by Babe Ruth?
When it gets up into these type of things, $60,000, probably. I'm not even close, am I?
$485,000.
It's ridiculous.
Whatever.
This is where we come up. This is where I always tell people, really, like, I do know what the hell I'm doing, but when you get up into these astronomical prices, it really just is a matter. You could get two dedicated bidders is what you could get for. I'm deadly serious. You can get for this. Everybody else goes, well, you know, $50,000 is, you know, my limit. And there's a guy going, fuck that. I'm going to get it. 70. The other guy's, no, I want 80, 90. Again, I can go back with an auction story. If I had two guys, I think that the player was Matt Sundin. I had like an autograph to his, like a rookie card. He had two guys from his home country who were bidding against each other. A card I should have gotten $30 for, I think I got $175 for because two dedicated bidders. So sometimes when the price gets run up like that, I blame that.
All right. You know, you got some knucklehead.
$480,000.
$485,000. And it was a beat-up baseball. I mean, I saw the picture.
Of course it's going to be a beat-up baseball. I don't know. You know. Where did who has
it was one of the auction houses? I don't know.
Yeah, so they've got the provenance somehow. I'd like to go look that up later.
Okay,
and then not talk about it next time.
Okay. I'll call you up tonight and hang up. All right, this is interesting. You always talk about PSA. PSA stands for what?
Professional sports authentication.
Okay, they're the one of the probably the main authenticating.
Well, they're different. There's PSA and then
and
there's
Beckett.
And then there's Beckett. Our good friend Steve Grad
right.
is the head authenticator for Beckett, and they are slightly different. But PSA has been around longer, so you're going to see more PSA stuff out there. So go ahead.
Okay, there's a Jim Brown Topps rookie card, 1958. I saw in this one auction, they have the PSA 5, PSA 6, mm-hmm. PSA 7. So obviously, this does make a difference in what the value of a card, how they grade it.
Right.
Okay? I'll just start. A PSA 5, Jim Brown Topps rookie card, 1958.
So what is that going to be, about $800?
$2,400.
Is it that much now?
Yeah.
Okay. On a five?
On a five.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm actually,
this is like rating girls when, you know, they're walking down the street.
No,
I give her a five.
Well, here's the thing. I think 800 is probably...
She's warped.
800 is probably more of a, is a, what I call a raw price. It's just like if you have the card, but you haven't had it authenticated, but you believe it to be a five, you know.
Okay.
You know, because you pay them a couple of $100 to do the not the authentication, but the grading. You pay them a couple of $100 to do it, and then you can raise the card price precipitously. And then what you have to do, though, is that price you're finding of $2,400, that doesn't mean that's the worth. That means that's what somebody wants.
Yeah, pay for it.
That's what, no, that means what somebody wants.
Wants to get for
to
it.
To get for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Now, I could come underneath and go, I'll give you $1,200, and the guy may have been sitting on it for 6 months and goes, you
okay.
know what? I'm not going to look a guitar in the mouth. I'm going to take the money.
So that is
one of the big things. And when people call me and say, you know, I have something to sell, and we just start discussing it, then the first words out of their mouth is, well, I was looking on eBay. And I usually say, well, that's your first mistake. Because unless you know what you're looking for, you're going to come up with some figure that's just not right.
Anyway, so the PSA 5 Jim Brown rookie card, $2,400. Now we go up to a PSA 6. How much does it increase?
I would say it probably increases $1,000.
It goes up to $4,000.
Well, so it's ballparkish. I went 4,000. Yes, and from there, but then the 7, 8, 9s, 10s is where it really starts going.
Well,
up.
I didn't see the 8, 9s, and 10s, but there is a PSA 7 Jim Brown Topps rookie card, 1958. How much?
7.
Real close, $6,600. So obviously, it goes up as the grade goes up.
Right,
and just like if you're going out with those hot girls, the hotter they are, the more money you have to spend on them at the restaurant.
That Jim Brown is high maintenance. Listen, the thing about these cards is what, here's the thing about it, and I like to warn people ahead of time. If you want to get your cards graded, by all means, go ahead, but realize you are paying someone else,
yeah, to do it,
to tell you how sure. nice your card is. Just yeah. You know, it's kind of like a scratch off ticket.
Well, it's like going to CarMax. You may think that car that you're selling is worth a lot of money, but they tell you how much you're getting for it.
My friend just bought a car from CarMax.
It's not a bad deal there. So PSA, I actually saw that they're hiring graders. What kind of test do they put them through?
Great, like. Oh, yeah,
how do they
right,
do
right.
this?
Do you see the crease?
That's basically that they
then,
said.
They wash everybody out in the first one. Do you see the crease? No, you're out. You know? What do you think of that upper right-hand corner? I think it's pretty good. You're gone.
Whatever.
Really, I don't know what they don't have like a 13-step process to grading cards. No, seriously.
But they did see a sign for this. Listen, they are hiring.
Yes, I saw that too. Here, listen. It's impossible for 35, 45, 55, however many people are grading cards on any given day. It's impossible for them to all have the same opinion.
But so then how do they pick these people?
I don't know who's working for lunch.
Yeah, like, will you go fetch?
Yeah. Are you hungry? Listen,
How much do they pay? I might want to do this.
You take care of this stack of 1948 Leaf Ted Williams cards, and we'll get you a burger.
All right, let's go to something else here. I see that there's a lot of old games that are, like, you talk about COVID. A lot of things are coming
COVID
back.
COVID is a game?
No.
You know, I'm surprised it's not a board game yet.
It might be when it's all said and done. Oh, God. 100 years,
They're going to add it to Milton Bradley's Game of Life.
From 6 to 66.
You flip over the card, you got the COVID.
Gosh. All right, so let's think of some of these old games that might fetch money, like...
Okay.
All right, let's... Old games for $1,000. Come on, you told me not to stick with sports all the time,
no,
so I'm all
not,
over the place.
I have no idea what... Okay.
All right,
no
how about the game about. Mousetrap?
Mousetrap, the wildest, funniest game you've ever seen.
Mousetrap! Oh, I love that game.
Did you get the trap over the mouse at the end of the game?
Yeah, you did something, and yeah, I loved Mousetrap, even though I couldn't tell you the first thing about how it's played anymore. I think it was more fun building the mousetrap.
No idea.
Oh, see, now they're grading games now. See?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going
with
this nonsense.
Everything. I don't know. Okay. I mean, I have no clue. Just give me these.
All right. Well, I don't know what the prices are in these. I'm just throwing this out there just to kill time here. All right. So I'm thinking of old games that were ridiculous.
Like, Operation.
That's the next one I wrote down here. Operation.
Operation's the wacky doctor game. Remove the pieces and collect your fee, but don't touch the sides or...
Does anybody look back on that with an adult's view and going, oh my God, that guy was awake. You were taking the...
They didn't have propofol back
then.
You
look at the guy's face. He's in great agony. And they're... Take out his heart.
No. Is that a spleen? The buzzer went off.
What else?
Candyland.
That's for, like, little kids.
That's you.
Yeah. Candyland's and Chutes and Ladders, weren't they kind of like the 2 5-year-old games?
Yeah.
Right. I don't even know. Chutes and Ladders, I think you got to a ladder, you could climb down to the next level or climb up or something. In Candyland, I have no fucking idea.
How about Battleship?
Oh, you suck my...
You suck my Battleship.
They
want... Ha! Commit! J-10! Oh, you suck my Battleship!
in one of my favorite movies, and we got to talk. Just if you want to talk non-sports, you asked me about some of my favorite comedies. Bill and Ted's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. I love Excellent Adventure, and I love Bogus Journey. Bill and Ted Face Music, but it's got the scene with death. They die. You've seen it.
Actually, I don't think I see
that. Oh, you haven't seen Bogus Journey?
No.
You've seen Bogus Journey, Aldo?
Nope.
Well, then you'll look up the clip afterwards.
Nope.
They have to win their way back to the living because they, you know, have to save. They have to save the world, and so they wind up playing death in a series of games. And I think it's based on like a Fellini film or something like that. Playing death.
The Seventh Seal by Ingmar Bergman.
Whatever.
So it's kind of like the same shit set up with the same cinematography, and then they pull back, and they're fucking playing Battleship. And, of course, death, they hit it like, you know, whatever the letter
they
is,
beat death?
B-19 or whatever, and death gets a look on his face and goes, "You have sunk my battleship."
Can you do Yoda doing that?
Give me a list. My battleship you have sunk. And of course, death goes on to join Bill and Ted's band.
Of course, he does.
He plays the bass. It's great.
Do 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 do.
It's a fan. I love that movie. Here's what we used to play a lot of. Now, you ever heard of a game called Mealborns?
No.
It was, I believe, Canadian or French Canadian, and it was a game you had to complete like a 5,000-mile journey with cards. But people would try and stop you with their cards, flat tire, out of gas, and you could counter saying, "Aha, I've got a gas can and I've got, you know, spare tire and stuff like that." I enjoyed that. We played a lot of that, but we played a lot of that probably in my early 20s because we would be sitting around the table drinking at the same time as we were playing it. So, you know, it could get kind of raucous.
Drinking games.
There was a great game we played. I was in the Bahamas with a bunch of seniors.
Name dropper.
Dropping name of countries. you know, it's a good friend of mine, France. Listen, we were in the Bahamas when I was a senior, and it was kind of like
I'll see your France and raise you a Madagascar.
it was kind of a class trip with a teacher who was the chaperone, except he didn't give a shit. He got a free vacation out of it. So he would like watch us. Yeah, okay. And we were in one of the rooms one night, and this game I'd never heard of, but I'll never forget it. And because the stupidest name for a game was called Wapatui. And Wapatui is just a nonsense word. But what you had to do was you had to drink. It was the same time drinking game, but it was a card game. Everybody got a card face down. You'd all flip them up at the same time. Lowest card on the table automatically had to drink. Now, other things you couldn't do during the game. You couldn't call anybody by their name. You couldn't point to anybody. You couldn't swear. And
I couldn't do that.
And you had to say Wapatui before you drank. Now, we made the incredibly bad decision of playing it with shots of 151 Bacardi.
Oh, good luck.
I would say in about 15 minutes, the game went from like 8-3.
Right.
I was proud to be one of the last three people in, but I don't know if I remember the rest of the night.
How about Everclear? You ever drink that?
Oh, of course. Who hasn't?
Yeah. What proof is that?
Oh, God. I don't know. Look that one up.
What'd you say, Wapatui?
Well, that would be great because you'd be playing this game and somebody would have a couple shots and they'd forget and they'd flip their card up. They'd just done two shots in a row or something. They'd flip their card up. They had a two. Okay, you got a drink. And they'd go, shit, that's two drinks. And they'd go, oh, fuck you, that's three drinks. And they had to bone, and you had to go, so they go, Wapatui, drink. Wapatui, drink. And on the third one, they just drink. And you go, you didn't say Wapatui. Uh-huh. You got to drink again. So it was bent for destruction, that game.
Yeah, we got of this game in about two minutes.
What else was the other one? Bottle caps was a game?
Bottle caps?
Yeah, you tried to throw the you'd sit feet to feet on the floor. You'd put a glass in between your legs, and you had to throw the bottle cap into the glass. Stuff like that.
You played stupid games when you were drinking.
What games did you play?
Oh, it's like if something was on TV, like if Jack Buck said something stupid on TV, you know, repeated it.
Oh, Aldo, can you imagine if you and I played the Schuster drinking game every time he said something stupid?
Porn. Let's do that next time. Every porn reference, we all have to do shots.
We'd be asleep right now.
Be the best one we've ever done. All right, I'm going to leave you with this. I do, you know, I'm not a collector of stuff, okay? But I'm fascinated by this. What I do have is like when Chicago teams have won championships, I've gotten like a bunch of newspapers the next day and like the Sports Illustrateds that I saved from, you know, when the Bulls won all their championships. What kind of market or value is in that?
Not a whole bunch.
Oh, that really stuff, pisses me off.
You're like, wait, he wants to ramp up the show. He's like, so what's that worth? Not much. Okay, thanks for coming out.
Wapatui. You didn't say Wapatui. Take a shot.
All right.
People laugh along with us when we do, when they listen to this stuff.
Nope.
No. God, I'm so disappointed because I listen back to this shit and I laugh my ass off.
Whatever.
Listen, I'm waiting for some listener feedback to tell me who we should. We didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, we should have a comment. Is there a comment section on the website for this stuff?
Sure.
And do anybody comment?
Nope.
Nobody listens to this crap.
Disappointing.
They get on this. They go through. They go, oh look, oh, a basketball talk, sharpshooters with Mark Chinaski and Schuster. Fuck that. Oh, let's see. Oh, the Bears. I'm a big Bears fan. Look at this. Football talk with Greg Gabriel. Oh, he's good. And David. No. So that's what happens on this network, unfortunately. Unfortunately, somehow they decided to pair you and me up. And I'm getting
the
shit
out of this. You're not helping out either, by the way.
Whatever.
Hey, will you go buy some lunch?
Will I go buy some lunch? Yes, why? What guest star is coming in next that I need to put the bill on?
I just want to see if you want to have the great, you know, get the great job here. Go buy us some lunch.
Uh-huh. We need a lackey, Aldo.
We need a couple of lackeys.
All right, Aldo's going to fact check us here.
Right.
I think it's time.
There were 23 commercials done by Snackwell Cookies. That was the campaign Cookie Man.
Cookie Man, did you miss us?
From 1992 to 1997.
Let me just ask him real quickly, what was your favorite chocolate chip cookie? Because I do love chocolate chips. There was a chocolate chip cookie called Decadent.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's so good.
Favorite chocolate chip cookie, honest to goodness, my mom's.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I will actually. It's that
bring
time
them next time.
It's the time of the season. She starts making them and giving them out as little gifts. I'll bring you some.
Very cool.
Okay.
Peter Norman was the Australian silver medalist.
It was Australian.
Yes. I told you.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. The Tootsie, how many licks does it take? It was Purdue University that built a licking machine modeled after a human tongue.
David wants that in his bedroom.
It took 364 licks.
I was only off by one.
You know what? I think Seika has that machine at home, too.
It was modeled after her tongue. Now, there also was 20 volunteers who decided to do it the human way, and it took them 252 licks. On average.
Which is why man is always better than machine.
Absolutely.
The David Kaplan basketball card was issued in 1990, and on eBay, it is going for $3.42.
Well, he can retire.
Hey, Cap, you're rich.
Yeah,
Cap.
You can retire on that one.
You guys were talking about the new James Bond. Well, their Esquire magazine, the September issue, listed about 20 frontrunners for the position, and they include Tom Hardy, Robert Pattinson, Idris Elba, Richard Madden. I don't know who Richard Madden is.
He's the guy. I think he's the guy who played one of the Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. I believe that's
who it is. Yeah, he's good. Henry Cavill.
He looks the most like a Bond,
yeah.
But I think Idris Elba would be a really good.
Well, then they'd have to explain that one a little bit, wouldn't they?
Why?
I don't know. I mean,
real quick, and
yes,
I'll get all the
guys. Yes.
There's the theory that James Bond is just a call name, not the person.
My name is Bond.
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 James Bond.
The call name?
Yeah, like that's their special agent, James Bond.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. The real guy's name is Archibald Leach.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever.
Who'd you say? Henry Cavill? Who'd you say?
Henry Cavill.
How about Superman. Henry Gibson?
Jeez, going back again.
Elements by Henry Gibson. I used to like fresh air when it was there, and water. I enjoyed it till we destroyed it. Each day the land's diminished. I think I'm finished.
He always goes back. He doesn't know anything. David's not real good on anything post-1948.
The Drew Carey show was called Whose Line Is It?
I don't even know what I said. Who's on my line?
Nothing new.
The King Kong model, there was actually four of them,
right.
And two of them were 18 inches tall, and two of them were 24 inches tall. One of the 18 inches tall ones went in auction for $2.5 million.
Holy shit!
Not surprised at that.
The owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey team.
Well, see, there you go. Deep pockets, throws it around.
Wait a second. Are you telling me an 18-inch model of King Kong went for $2.5 million?
Not a model. It was one of the ones they used in the movie.
I don't care. It's a fucking 18-inch model.
It's actually a clay figure.
18-inch
From the 1933 King Kong movie for $2.3 million.
I can believe that.
I can make one at home, and he can have it for $2.4 million. How's that? Come on, $2.5 million.
That game show you were referring to is The Wall, the LeBron James game.
Never saw it either.
Ron Burkle, by the way, is the name of that Pittsburgh Penguins owner who paid...
Dope!
You guys were talking about porn parodies. I've got a list here of porn parody movies that you might be interested
in. Here, let me write these down.
You've already seen them.
I probably have.
These are some of the more popular ones. Bat Pussy.
They didn't even try on that one.
Down on Abby.
I like that one.
I'm going to lose it.
Playmate of the Apes.
That could be disturbing.
Super Hornio Brothers. I better move on.
No, don't.
Zelda Gilroy was the name of the character in the Dobie Gillis TV show.
Well, that's a trivia question. Her last name.
Her last name is Zelda Gilroy.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, I remember Zelda, but I mean, I don't think her name was ever mentioned on this show, her last name.
David Schuster keeping silent movies alive for nearly 80 years.
And finally, there was a porn parody made on the Dobie Gillis show.
Oh, for I gotta go see this one.
Wait, he's already grabbing his jacket. Sit down here and finish the show.
You know, I gotta record the basketball one right after this. I'm not gonna be able to do this.
Maybe I should just stick around.
Do you care to guess what the title of the Dobie Gillis porn parody movie
is? Oh, gosh. What goes with Dobie? Oh, gosh, just tell us.
It's not very funny, unfortunately.
Oh, then,
so I was hoping you guys would come up with something.
What a killjoy.
It's called The Mini Loves of Dobie Gillis.
Oh, because
no,
it was called...
No.
The Dobie... Mini Loves?
I've already got
Mini
it.
Loves.
Yeah, because right, it was Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
Here's what we're running the show on. No, the real name should have been Dobie Phyllis.
Oh, by the way, Jesse Owens... gold medal.
Oh, how much is this worth?
I have that somewhere. Where
if go? You're going to tell me it's not worth as much as that stupid 18-inch King Kong.
The Jesse Owens Olympic gold medal sold for $615,000 online back in December of 2019.
Does it say, I mean, he won a bunch of gold medals. Does it say by chance which one?
Yeah, I see.
And where are the other ones then?
I know the answer to this one. It is the second one.
Let's see. One of the four gold medals that legendary Jesse Owens won during the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin has sold for $615,000. The final price is significantly lower than the record of $1.46 million, another Owens Berlin medal that sold in 2013.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Why would there be such a big discrepancy?
Well, it's just a bidding process,
it,
right?
You know, it was dirty.
Dirty.
I don't know.
Yes. Grease. A total of 11 bids for the gold medal were received during the online auction, which had opened on November 18th and went for almost a month.
Porn name for Olympic athletes, Jesse Blowens.
You know what?
I told you I was good at this game, Aldo.
You know what? I told you at the beginning we got renewed. We just got canceled.
Shit.
You got a porn name for stuff your mom threw up?
Yes. I got about 9. We'll save that one.
Stay tuned. Next week, we will have new names for the podcast.
Stuffed Your Mom.
Hey, yeah. Scott, I think it's time to say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Do it in Yoda's voice.
Goodbye.
We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, everybody, it's Aldo. And remember, if you listen to the Bears Ballroom Radio Network on iTunes, please leave us a review and tell your friends about this show, Stuff Your Mom Threw Out. Thank you, everybody.